Time now for Connecting the Diocese. Connecting the Diocese is a production of the Diocese of La Crosse. Here's host Jack Socha.
Well, thank you for joining us on Connecting the Diocese. Quick note, kind of a nice thing. Last week, I had mentioned about the funeral of a friend who used to purchase estate sales and things like that for his thrift store, and he frequently had a lot of stuff that he didn't really sell in his store, appliances and bedding and clothes and everything you could think of. And over the years, he gave all of this away. He had kind of an elaborate group of people who knew people who needed things and things like that, and this stuff all went out into the community over more than 30 years. Well, I was just talking to his widow, and she said that he had a lot of his own personal clothes, a lot of sweatshirts and pants and shoes and more stuff stuffed in his closet than probably you would expect. And she heard of a lady nearby who has a little system going of her own, where in the front of her house she has things for free and people stop by and pick them up. Also, she gives things to Catholic Charities and also Salvation Army and basically anyone else who needs it. And I never knew how she got all of her stuff. Apparently some of it was involved with the church across the street. But it turns out now that my friend's belongings, his clothes, all those things that are not needed anymore, are going to her. And so his legacy of giving things away to other people in need still continue. And I'm sure that he's looking down from heaven going, that's a really good idea. This hour, we're going to be talking about helping people with a different kind of need, a spiritual need, all over the world, helping to celebrate World Mission Sunday. Should be a pretty good show. We're going to be talking to Father Woody right after this. Before we talk about World Mission Sunday, I want to talk about something coming up that's a lot closer to home. The Father Joseph Walieski Legacy Guild is having its dinner benefiting Casa Hogar Juan Pablo II, and you are invited to attend. It's Friday, November 3rd. So it comes up pretty soon at Blessed Sacrament Parish on Losey Boulevard. There's a social at 5 p.m., 6:30. There's a very nice dinner and a program to follow. Again, all of this goes to support Casa Hogar, which we've heard so much about, and now have unique connections to via internet communications, so we can talk to them even more. But with this, you can talk to Monsignor Hirsch, see how things are going, ask questions, see lots of photographs, lots of information going on, and he probably will be doing some entertaining as well. Now, this is a charitable donation operation. It is $75 per person. For businesses who want to sponsor an entire table, it's $550, which seats 8 people, and you should RSVP by October 23rd. Now, that is Monday, so it's coming up pretty quick. Kind of make your decision. If you do get to them later, it should be okay, but one of the reasons they want to get the RSVPs in is so they know how much food to cook. As much as we like talking to Monsignor Hirsch, either in person in the studio or now via the internet all the way from Peru, there's nothing like talking to him in person and see how on fire he is for what's going on. And the more you know about Casa Hogar and the wonderful things they've done, the more you're going to want to support them even more. Again, this is Friday, November 3rd, 5 p.m. social, 6:30 p.m. dinner, and program to follow. You can just go to the diocesan website, diolc.org, and follow the links. Again, please RSVP by Monday. And of course, if you are not an internet kind of person, just call the Diocese of La Crosse and ask for the missions office, and they will direct you to the right person.
Catholic news and interviews. This is Connecting the Diocese.
Well, Father Woodrow Pace, better known to everybody around here, is Father Woody. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Been a great fall.
So far, so good. And the leaves are just starting to change in our neck of the woods. I hear that in other parts of the area, they're still green. We have green grass outside. I almost had to get it mowed.
I heard lawnmowers last week.
You know, we're having you on this weekend because whether or not, well, if you're listening on Saturday, it's coming up on Sunday. But if it's Sunday, it is World Mission Sunday. And this is a big deal. Every time I have you on and you talk about very different facets of what you do. And by the way, just for the reference, what is your official title?
I am the director of the missions office, and that includes the Pontifical Mission Societies. So that's what I'm representing today. And it also includes the missionary efforts particular to the Diocese of La Crosse.
Now, why is this World Mission Sunday. This is not just a diocesan thing, right?
No, this is worldwide. I've had the privilege of being at this prayer and collection in other parts of the world in October. So I can verify personally they have it in every Catholic parish around the world.
Again, for people like me who don't always catch up on what's going on, this is not for American missionaries going overseas like Father Walieski or something like that. Am I correct about that?
The collection, actually, we forward from our mission office to the national office, and then from there they forward to the Pontifical Mission Societies in Rome. And then it gets distributed to around 1,150 different locations at our mission and orientation. So we don't benefit from it, but areas of the world where the church exists in poverty, they do. They receive grants and they receive the annual payouts from the amount that people send in.
This is an interesting thing. Obviously, there have been Christian and Catholic missions all over the world for who knows how long, ever since probably there were boats. But the idea is that we have information, we have a word, we have a faith that what we want to spread around the world because we think it can bring better peace, better understanding, better relationship with God. You know, we have things we think are good. And sometimes people haven't heard about them. As Bishop and I talked about a few weeks ago, misinformation, disinformation, just flat wrong stuff that people don't know anything about the Catholic Church or what it does. And these missions are in all kinds of places. What is the smallest one you can think of that we have dealt with?
One of my favorite memories is a contact from a priest whose parish was on the Amazon. He's a Divine Word missionary, and he was moved from one location to the next, and at the new assignment he had no boat access, so we were able to fund the vehicle by which he was able to evangelize the next village of people, and he had a new boat on the Amazon River.
So my boat comment was actually rather apt.
It was,
as
yeah.
a matter of fact, yeah. These could be really, really small operations. And they can frequently be in, well, the word I like these days is underserved areas, where there just isn't a whole lot. You know, people want to find out more about what Christianity is about, what Catholicism is about. There's just not a lot of resources for it.
No, and the Pontifical Mission Societies, especially the Propagation of the Faith, our primary mission is to evangelize, so to animate the mission out there. So it's not necessarily to feed the poor and clothe the naked. That can be done, but our primary is to preach the Word of God and to make sure people hear the name of Jesus Christ. So that is especially in need of funding or underfunded. So the World Mission Sunday is essential in that regard.
Yeah, it's a good point. This does not by any means mean that the Catholic Church does not feed the hungry and clothe the naked. We have the Catholic Relief Services. We have Catholic Charities locally in this country. We're all over the place trying to help out with all kinds of things. But at the same time, you would like people to get a certain amount of good news. And this is what we do. Again, evangelizing is one of those words that it has a lot of baggage wrapped around it. You know, you sometimes think of people standing on soapboxes in parks and things like that. But it really is a function of the church. If people don't hear what you are, well, there's an old saying in the radio business, which is sort of apt to this. They say, if you're a radio person and you don't tell your listeners that you're listening to the greatest show on radio, no one's going to do it for you. and it's kind of like that. What I have this bird's eye view, this fly on the wall after 10 years of interviewing people of all these different things that the Catholic Church does and provides, and not just material things. I'm talking about spiritual things, just important things. And we have to evangelize. We have to tell people that we're here and we do it because no one's going to do it for us.
Mm-hmm. And we are obviously embodied spirits, you know, so the condition of being able to receive the good news means that we have a certain level of function. So, yeah, if we're hungry, we're not going to listen. If our basic needs are not met, then we're kind of undermining the ability to take in that good news. So it is very gospel-oriented to do those things. But as a society or as a mission society, we take as a central concern the needs of the soul and that connection with Jesus, the encounter that brings people to a deeper understanding and a foundational relationship with God. So, yeah, we try to do all that together and in union with one another.
How many different missions have you been to look and see what's going on?
I've had a long-term relationship with some missions in Uganda, so even as a seminarian, lived there for a while. Have been able to travel to Peru and see our own diocesan missions that continue in work and are inspired by Father Joe Walieski, our own priest. And recently had a chance to travel through India, three different states, and meet people that we've come to know through the priests that they've sent here to work in our parishes. So there are other places in the world too, but those are the primary ones where I went to see missions.
They really like to see you when you go there, don't they?
Well, the hospitality, I always say my American hospitality is to say, yeah, welcome, there's a fridge, if you need anything, help yourself. Go there, and the hospitality is overwhelming. Just the generous spirit of sharing of time and the pride of the culture, both song and dance. We had several evenings that had preparation of performances like that, and of course the food. So yeah. Food was spectacular.
And it isn't like they are doing it out of some sense of obligation, like when Premier Kim from North Korea goes to visit, you better have the dancers out there.
Right.
They better be good. They're doing it out of joy.
It's a warmth of welcome to the stranger, but it's also kind of that perception of we have something to share with you that we're very happy with. We're very proud. I remember going to a village in the hillsides, kind of mountain threshold of park in Uganda, and visiting a family that the host knew, and it was a small group of 12, but they didn't have enough furniture to have all of us sit. So as we were arriving, neighbors were carrying their couches on their heads, and we knew that they probably didn't have meat very often, but we had goat on sticks, and so they poured themselves out for us.
They didn't have enough furniture in their house, so the neighbors were bringing furniture to them. These are the kind of things that we don't have the exact parallel happening in this country, but it is really heartwarming. I remember when Archbishop Lestecky was Bishop Lestecky, he was here, he was on the show, and he had gone to India with somebody else, I forget who it was, but when a bishop shows up, you know, they pull out all the stops, and they had some kind of vehicle which they had put some kind of a platform on top. It was a convertible, and with like these chairs, and he was sitting elevated in this thing, right? And they were kept putting garlands of flowers around his neck. And the only problem was he had a real allergy to flowers.
Oh, yes.
And so his eyes began to water. And they're going, oh, look how happy the bishop is. he's crying.
It worked.
He's
so, oh, my goodness.
But he didn't take them off. You know, I mean, he was good about that. But it was an amusing thing. But the thing also that he was blown away with was there were these sisters there who were every day dealing with severely mentally challenged people who were basically institutionalized and were so mentally challenged they were unable to even clean themselves. And every day these sisters would get up and they would go and they would treat these people with dignity and they would clean them and they would make them look good and they would do all this, knowing full well that the next morning when they got up, they had to do the whole thing over again.
Mm-hmm.
Bishop Lestecky was going, the dedication, he was just astounded that they could be that dedicated to Jesus, that they would go there and see Jesus in those people and do that to them every single day, knowing it's not going to change and know it's not going to get better the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really nice. Mm. I mean, he was deeply, deeply impressed. This situation now, again, you've got various countries. And what happens is, do we support these specific missions ourselves, or does all this go up through Rome? I know you mentioned there's a general fund that goes out to everybody.
Right, yeah. In other programs, like the missionary co-op program in the summer, where we meet missionaries who come and talk to us in the pews, or the mite box collection, if something is specifically targeted, then we do. But for World Mission Sunday, no, it's a way to give to the mission of the church to evangelize and mm-hmm. know that it gets carried out. So it's not to any specific project or territory. We do know that it will go eventually to, as I said before, about 1,150 different locations, and they support catechists, those who teach the faith. It does go to about 250,000 religious sisters who work to educate, like you said before, with medical care for others. It does support seminarians and Catholic schools, medical outreaches. So all these are through the bishops and the religious superiors. So through mm-hmm. diocesan territories and through the religious order, the funds are distributed each year.
Do they print religious material in each individual language?
As long as there is the ability to translate the documents, yeah, and everything is in original languages. Roman Missal itself from the Latin gets translated for all the Vulgates and catechetical materials. And there's some, like even in our own diocese with the Hmong, where Thailand and Laos, they would be mission territories. The Hmong language was only coded in European alphabet in the 1940s, but now they're working to perfect the translations and continuing in that direction.
Yeah, they basically had oral traditions and pictographs and things like that going on. I know at Casa Hogar, for the little kids, those who don't speak English, obviously, they also had graphic novel versions of Bibles.
Right, very effective, and the kids are just glued to it. When we had the holy hours there, they could spend the entire hour just looking at the stories and getting the pictures.
And later on, when they got to read a normal Bible, they knew more about where it was than anybody else did mm-hmm. because they had seen all these things earlier. So it really is quite a remarkable operation. Are there areas where we have missions that are somewhat dicey or dangerous right now as well?
We do support missions where the church is under attack. We just had donations that came in for Sri Lanka, where we remember the Easter slaughter that happened with a church that was bombed a few years ago, I think. Time passes quickly. That may have been 2017, somewhere in there. Currently, we do support Chalice of Mercy mission in Ukraine. They, of course, through Valentina's work, have received support far and wide, so we're a small drop in the bucket there. But that's the Catholic outreach, and she just had mass on the front lines with Bishop Jan Sobrino, and so it's good to see the church at work there as well for those who are in need.
Who would have thought that this young lady who was really starting a kind of a pro-life mission would be thrust into quite a monstrously large operation? Amazing how people can come up and they grow into the part, mm-hmm. as it were. It was just remarkable. Mm-hmm. We've seen some of that. Again, most of what I know are things about Casa Hogar, and I've seen people who have grown into the part. You know, they've done really great things, and again, who would have imagined that good old Father Joe Walayeski would have done such monumental things that were done as well? And the problem, of course, is there's a ton of these missions that will be accepting funds from this that we'll never hear about. I mean, you know, they don't have a PR company. They don't have, they're just doing their thing down there. They're helping out. And you know all about them. And, you know, there's somewhere they're being notified and they communicate back and forth to, is there a chain of communications? How do these small missions get hold of the Vatican or whatever? Do they write to them or what do they do?
There's certain grant writing processes, but for the World Mission Sunday, their local authority would be the one they turn to. So they receive a a certain amount after the collection, and then it's the bishop or the religious superior that determines how it's forwarded to serve the kingdom of God to the best of its ability. So if there's a need, then they turn to their local authority for this.
I got you. It's a kind of a interesting parallel that here we are in the States, and here we have a current thing going on, which I don't think is going to last forever, where people are just kind of going, oh, I don't think I really need organized religion. I'm kind of finished with that. I'm going to do my own thing, you know. And in other parts of the world, I remember when one priest from, I think it may have been Uganda, when he would move into this remote village, people would come from all over the place because a priest was in town. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this this hunger for this information, and there's this just absolute pleasure in having someone there who is explaining what the church believes, basic behavior, how to act like, you know, all these things. And they just say, yeah, this is great. We're learning a lot of good stuff. And here we have people going, well, I don't really need that. You know, literally, there's a church half a block away. and part of what we do here is try to get people who are just kind of ambivalent at this point to say, wait a minute, the more you spend time dealing with your local church, the more you're going to discover, as I have been discovering over these past years, the absolutely amazing amount of stuff that goes on. And I suspect that if we saw the dedication of these people at these missions on a daily basis, to just without hesitation to be preaching gospel and talking to people and hearing confession and marrying people and funerals and all kinds of stuff, they would be absolutely astounded that all this was going on for, you know, a relatively remote area.
Well, I think this year Pope Francis is tapping into that energy that you're talking about, the energy of indifference on one end and the energy of enthusiasm of faith on the other, because each year he gives us a theme for World Mission Sunday, and each year writes a message. And this year the focus that he is giving is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, and it's the story of Emmaus. So, you know, that when the church is just three blocks down the street and we don't pay much attention to it, he focuses us on the two disciples, you know, and Jesus even says to them, how foolish you are, how slow of heart, you know. So he comes to them, even though they are foolish and slow of heart, and we're filled with doubts that come from our modern arrogance, or we're filled with weaknesses and distractions from the society, and yet he comes, and when he starts explaining the scripture to us from Moses until himself, the Messiah coming, then later, as they're sitting around the fire, they say, "We're our heart's not on fire," you know. So that image of people running to the church because a priest is coming and their hearts are on fire to take in the graces that can be given. And I think the Pope recognizes we're in need of that, and so he's calling us to World Mission Sunday to be Eucharistic.
The Gospels really have a lot of things that are very good to hear and very good to apply to today's conditions, to exactly what's going on, to somehow just go, well, there's nothing in that church. I don't. Mm-hmm. What are they gonna help me with? Boy, I'll tell you, you're missing out. And also, and I was talking to Father just before we began this recording, we have Halloween's coming up. Mm. And I asked him, I said, guess how much Americans spent on Halloween candy? Not costumes, Halloween candy last year.
I was flabbergasted.
Hang on to your coffee cup now, okay? $3.1 billion.
Amazing.
$3.1 billion for Halloween candy. You know, we're talking wax teeth. Which, by the way, I did see in a store this week, the wax lips and the wax teeth, they're still making them.
Brings me back to my childhood, yeah.
I, however, did not buy one. But my point is simply this. World Mission Sunday, just consider that when you're going out there saying, I think I'll buy 47 more bars of Snickers just in case we need them.
Right, right. Well, and that's interesting. One of the other mission societies that we represent is the Missionary Childhood Association, and that's the Lenten Mite Box collection, connecting children to children. And it's always amazing for me to hear some of the stories, like they gave up their allotted candy, or they, you know, high school students who sacrifice a lunch and then put that money in the box. That, you know, when the financial gift is joined to a sacrifice, something that we deprive ourselves of in the name of another, and that just multiplies the goodness.
I remember talking with Chris Rogers a while back, and he had gone on a trip down to Casa Hogar with a bunch of high school students, and there was at least one girl who, when she saw how happy, relatively speaking, these kids were in Casa, that they had very little, you know, they didn't have all the sparkly objects the rest of us have. And she went back home, and she walked into her room, and she looked around, and she says, "Oh, I have way too much stuff here. This is not right." And she began gathering up stuff and began donating it because she says, "This isn't bringing me happiness." Right. What these kids were doing down there was making them happy.
That's revelatory.
And, I think that, now, again, if you're hearing this you know, on the internet the day after World Mission Sunday or something, you can still contribute. How can you do that? What's the best way of doing it?
Parishes do have envelopes, and so they are intended to be around for a little while, a week before, the week of, and especially the week after, but it takes some time for the funds to trickle in. So that envelope can be used, and the funds should be given to the parish first, and then they collect the data and offer the tax recording for your year-end statement. But there's also a website, so that envelope and parishes have a QR code that can be scanned, and then those collections go directly to the national office. So there's multiple ways it can be given.
The other thing that's really nice about this is that, number one, the efficiency of donations to any of these church projects, including World Mission Sunday, is very high. It isn't like 90% of the money you give goes to promote the next campaign. You would be amazed at how much money some organizations spend on just mailing out more envelopes and things like that. And if you go to places like Charity Watch, for example, you can see how church-related things from the Catholic Church are very highly rated. But also, you just have the background of the church. The system is already in place. These priests, these deacons, these sisters are already in these locations. The one thing that is needed, the engine that makes the whole thing work, it's like everything else, it seems like, is cash.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't donate food. It would be very difficult to send them clothes. We don't even know what they would be wearing. And but what you can do is you can convert that desire to help them into cash, and that will work precisely for what you want to have done, which is just it's very efficient. It will have much more of an effect. And again, it's kind of hard for us to imagine that that there are people there who don't have a lot, but they have a spiritual hunger that's just as important to them as a lot of other things. And so having the presence of the church and the assurances of the church and, you know, the sacraments and the sacramentals and all those things and the teaching, it's as essential to them as any other part of their life right now, and which I think is a very good thing.
And, I think that as their resources are augmented by the World Mission Sunday collection, what you see there, too, is just the multiplication of graces because they are acting in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, it's remarkable to meet the missionaries who are on fire and who are in love because that's what they share. They're very generous with their time, and the singular focus of their life is to see the face of Christ in the poor that they serve. So I think the stretching of the dollar is almost miraculous in some ways, and the scripture for the weekend of World Mission Sunday is the work of the Holy Spirit calling secular authorities to serve the name of God, Cyrus, the king of Persia, in the first reading, and then the gospel is oriented on Jesus even countering the those who are trying to trip him up, and making sure that we do our work in the world so that the face of God can be seen and the, you know, the kingdom of God is present.
It's sometimes difficult, and it's even hard for me when I'm talking about, with you about this, to keep slipping into the idea of aid, you know, physical aid, food, clothing, and things like that. This is extremely important, what they're doing down there every single day, that is not the the physical aid. It's a little bit like what the folks from Catholic Charities talk about when they're dealing with people who are homeless. They said that these people, when they come into a shelter, they are amazed that they're being recognized as people, because they're so much in being invisible on the street, where people just don't even look at them, don't even talk to them, don't say hello to them, like they're just nothing. Mm. And they feel so good that someone asks their name and uses their name and says good night to them or good morning to them, in addition to the other help that they give. And it's kind of the same way that here is the Catholic Church, you know, it's a huge organization, the Vatican, you know, all these things going on. And here they are in a small village, and they're treating these people with as much respect as anybody else in any big city in the world. If I was a person in one of those situations where I didn't really have much of anything, but, you know, the fact that I was being treated with respect and honor, and that they were taking time to explain to me what this belief system is all about, what Jesus was teaching, how it can affect you today, how it can help you deal with your family, and all the things that go on. When you think about it, to get it down to that, what's the word they use, granularity, down to that level of one-on-one with people in remote villages in the Amazon, they got to get to in a boat.
Right.
That when you think about that effort that is done to make this happen, I don't even have any idea. How long have there been world missions in the Catholic Church? Any idea when that got going?
It was through Pauline Jaricot. She was a French woman in the time of the missionary outreach to the world. So the New World had been kind of discovered, and so the Americas were being explored and colonized, and she went to her bishop and said, I hear the cry of the church over there in the U.S., over in China, and the missionary world needs your help, she said. And the bishop said, well, then why don't you do something about it? So threw it back into her lap, and she started, first of all, prayer groups. So groups of 10 people that would devote a certain amount of time each day to prayer for the missions. And then they would sacrifice the equivalent of one penny per week, and then hand that off. And from that experience, the propagation of the faith was begun. So it really hasn't been around that long as far as a society, but, you know, the mission of the church is as old as the Acts of the Apostles, when they pooled their resources and shared everything in common.
Interesting. Yeah. I think the idea also is that if you who are listening right now are getting some benefit, and I sincerely hope you are, out of the church, not out of the show, I'm not promoting the show, but I mean out of the church, if there's something in the church, if it's something in the Mass, if it's the homilies, if it's some of the volunteer work you do that helps keep you stable and centered and kind and thoughtful and thinking about God and not just forgetting the whole thing, you're doing the same thing for somebody you're never going to meet in a country that you probably couldn't even find in some cases, but these people need this as much as you do.
Mm-hmm. And Father Joe Walieski had that idea of reverse mission. So the very need that they have, the emptiness, the poverty, the lack, what they're deprived of is the open door for us to encounter Christ. So that need and the reverse mission is that it comes back to us. And I love how you said that. If you are getting any benefit from the church, well, from them whom we'll never meet, faces that we'll never see, we are benefiting to be able to come back and examine our lives. Well, maybe I do have too much stuff around me, and what small sacrifice can I make, or what large gift can I offer because I have benefited from them?
Yeah. Think of some of that Halloween money.
Amen. Only $3 billion, that's all.
It's only $3.1 billion. Can you imagine if everybody gave up the Halloween candy and all of a sudden the World Mission's got $3.1 billion? That will be the day. That will be the day. But and it doesn't mean you can't go buy wax teeth if you want to.
Right. It's candy just, makers need jobs, too.
oh, man. I'll tell you. Well, you know what happens? It's really funny. There are people who wait till after Halloween, and then the candy is all marked down because it's obviously Halloween-themed stuff, and they rush to these stores, and they buy up a whole bunch of the good stuff.
Right. You know, at a discounted price.
Not the candy corn, please. No more candy corn. But they go and they buy the peanut butter cups, and they do all this, and they do all that. And within a day or two, you go back to the store, and all is left is the candy that nobody wants.
I do that at Christmas, though, because Christmas begins on December 25th. So I do my Christmas shopping around December 28th.
I know what you mean. It's a good idea. Yeah, we get so hung up in these holidays. And this is another function of the church that is important in this country, certainly. But I don't know whether it is as important in other countries, but perhaps so. The church tries to explain that we have certain holy times and holy traditions that are really, really, really important. Advent and Christmas, leading up to Easter, and of course Easter, and then following Easter, you know, all the things that go on, that they tend to get swamped, especially in this country, with a commercial overpainting of them. I've already gotten Christmas catalogs in the mail. You know, I'm just kind of, give me a break, folks. But and we tend to forget sometimes there are a lot of core facts and core beliefs that animate the actual events that we should really, really know about. Right. Because if it's just a thing to put on a silly costume, and I must admit, I will mention this, I think, not aware of this until recently, I saw an ad for, you know, the little kid dinosaur costumes that the little kids run around when they're about 4?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it has a hoodie with a little dinosaur head thing on it. They're making adult versions of those now for Halloween. You know, I'm thinking, if you're a 25-year-old guy going around wearing a dinosaur costume, I'm thinking this is not the best marriage material I've ever run across. But just a note to the ladies out there, get over it, guys. You're 25.
Right. By the commercialism, consumerism, it does popularize some things that we believe in. But then we have that whole layer.
I saw a picture of this. This grown guy in a dinosaur costume, and I was going, give me a break. It's one thing someone said, if you're going out with your kids, it's a different story.
Yeah.
Maybe you're going to dress up with something to be with them. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's fine. That's good. I must remind you also, and this is only because I'm a cat person and it has nothing to do with World Mission Sunday, the funniest Halloween cartoon I've ever seen was... It was a cat world where everybody were cats. And this cat mommy on Halloween night is opening the door for the cat trick-or-treaters, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one kid is dressed as a vacuum cleaner and the other is dressed as a spray bottle. And she goes, those are the scariest costumes I've ever seen.
Perfect.
It was good. It was really good. That is all we'll talk about Halloween. We don't get into too much of it whatsoever. But, the education of faith is fantastic. I went through RCIA years ago, and I learned quite a bit about the church, and it has served me well because you look at the teachings of the church, and then situations come up, and if you're kind of spending time paying attention, you can see where things the church has taught make sense in the situation that you're in.
Right, right. And that's what compels us to evangelize in some ways, that the church's voice through revealed scriptures in Jesus Christ, the sacraments that he's handed on to us, we have a different message to give to the world that is obviously hungry for something more than what it's getting. And so I think, you know, that's the nature of World Mission Sunday in some ways, but that mission of the church ad gentes to the nations is that Christ brings peace and happiness to a people who otherwise would live in darkness.
And right now, you know, we could stand a little more light floating around.
Amen.
And again, it is so interesting to see that you can read these Gospels and what they're saying makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, people don't just automatically know these things, you know, especially if they're in a country where literacy is not particularly high, where there is not a great deal of access to library and all kinds of things. And so World Mission Sunday has these people go down there and they say, hey, look, we want to tell you this story. You know, we call it the greatest story ever told, that maybe you would really benefit from.
Right.
And just come. You know, we're not going to charge you for it. You know, we're not. this is not a get-rich-quick
right.
scheme or multi-level marketing. This is just us telling you what we believe, because we think that what we believe is really good for you.
And the, you know, the modern critique of religion, saying that it's outmoded and antiquated and it doesn't speak to the needs today, so it's irrelevant, you know, all of that is really errant. You know, in some ways the church has sinned, and you know, we are under the microscope for that, and that's a good thing for us, you know, because it creates accountability. But the church is anything but outmoded and antiquated, because every generation is in a new way in need of a savior. So
yeah, you're absolutely right. And the more we dip into this chasm of darkness, of strange stuff, people just looking and searching for everything you can think of, you know, and whether it be self-medicating or whether it just be believing in crystals or believing in some, you know, whatever thing is currently the big deal now. I look back and I go, you know, if you take some time to study these things and read these things, it's not that complicated. It's very hard to follow in terms of actually doing what
right. It's challenging, yes.
It's challenging, yeah. But by golly, it beats so much stuff that people are trying to make a quick buck on. You know, how to do oneness and how to do this, and you know, another self-help book that comes out that basically rehashes the same stuff. And the advice that we have been passed on for thousands of years now, it makes a lot of sense.
It does.
It really does.
And Christ, you know, he healed people, he touched them, he dispelled demons and gave them freedom. So he did all that to make our lives on earth better. But ultimately, the reason why the disciples' hearts were on fire and they recognized him in the breaking of the bread is that, you know, through his death and resurrection, it's something, the goal the earth cannot create. It can't earn or merit, and it can't fashion out of its own even imagination. So it's eternal life that we want for ourselves, but we want it for everyone, and that's why the church is missionary.
Yeah, that's a good point. This is not something where we've got something and we're not telling because we're the elite and you don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
mm-hmm.
the opposite. It's kind of, we are here to share it with you because we think that you'll really benefit from it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's costing us some money.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to charge you for it.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
How many times have you seen that pitch on TV? I haven't really. We're going to do something for you that's really going to be good for you, and it's going to cost us a whole bunch of money, but we're not going to charge you. Then there would be the natural question, where's the hook? No credit card needed yet.
What's the scheme? Okay, you'll pay for it now, but how about later?
It's a very, very important time. People have been saying this for centuries, of course, every generation. But I look around, I see just an awful lot of people who are just not real happy right now. And part of it, you know, is materialism. Part of it is just there's a a certain dissatisfaction going on. And the nice thing about the kind of missionary work these people are doing, it isn't all just lockstep one thing. There could be somebody in a village somewhere who loves music, and they would be thrilled to find that there are things that they could sing and things like that. You know, there's people who like to work on things, like the people who were bringing the couches and the chairs. Mm-hmm. You know, the Catholic Church has something for everyone. There's artistic things that can be done. You can just study these famous thinkers and these saints. It's all extremely accessible. Again, you may discover it's hard to follow what they're suggesting for a while. But on the other hand, the more you read about these things, the more you deal with sacraments and all these, the more some things that you thought were really important to you begin to fall away. Mm. And now we're not expecting you all to become seminarians.
Right.
Hey, we do need those. And, I've never run across a person who was earnestly seeking some kind of practice of the presence of God that I haven't admired for what they were trying. You know? And also, like I say, in these countries, there could be some of these people they're talking to who do become seminarians.
Absolutely, yeah. That is something the World Mission Sunday collection does support. But you know, that primary focus on evangelization, and obviously, again, when hunger is held at bay as much as possible, when people are sheltered against the elements themselves first. But I think what I've seen in some villages and the stories that are just wonderful to hear is that faith is grown through beauty too. So when a small village that doesn't have its own resources is able to build a church that has a bell tower and an interior that has some artwork, you know, like you just mentioned, the arts, that's an element of the church that was forgotten for a while, but I think we're kind of turning back to it again, that the beauty of statuaries and paintings and murals and stained glass windows, it tells the story. It's arts are not cheap, but, you know, when that can be brought to a village that's been praying Sunday Mass once a month under a tree for the last 7 years, and suddenly they're able to see the name of their parish in a statue of St. Thérèse of Lisieux out in the front facade, that's just a great moment of celebration and praise of God.
Yeah, they go and say, this is our church that we have. Mm-hmm. Isn't it? We sit in here and we feel comfortable and we feel safe and we feel lifted up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, boy, you talk about money well spent. To provide that to people who have had very little else in terms of physical church, like you say, under a tree, which is probably a nice thing too, but frankly, I kind of like to be indoors, especially if it's raining. But it's a good deal. It's a good deal. I don't see a downside to this. Mm-hmm. People are being helped in so many different ways. And again, this is what, once a year, right? World Mission Sunday?
Once every year on the penultimate, the second to the last Sunday of October is how it's celebrated.
Yeah, and so this is for those of you listening on Sunday, it's right now. For those of you listening on Saturday, it's tomorrow. Okay. And for those of you who are listening on the internet delayed, because we are on a number of different places. You can even go to Amazon.com and just type in Connecting the Diocese, and boom, up it pops. But if you missed it on Sunday, the envelopes are probably still there. And so you can hop over to your church, and you can grab an envelope and put something in it, and it will help somebody who, again, you will probably never know, never see, and they may never know you, but there'll be a connection. There'll be a connection that you know there's something worthwhile, and you want to share it. And that's a gorgeous thing. That's a gorgeous thing.
It is.
What else is on your agenda in coming weeks, Father? What's happening in your world now besides World Mission Sunday?
Right, yeah. Well, I think the liturgical calendar flows along whether I'm ready or not. So Advent is around the corner. You mentioned that earlier, and then the Christmas feast. But right now is the first centenary in the life of St. Francis. So 800 years ago, this year in Greccio, St. Francis had his first live nativity. So I'm just really excited about, you know, remembering Francis, who himself was an amazing missionary just in his own backyard. And by the way he lived his life, he brought so many thousands to Christ and continues now. So 800 years later, we're just as hopeful of the faith as he was.
The interesting continuity of faith is quite remarkable, that you could talk to somebody who's 90 years old, and maybe you're only 22, and if both of you are going to Mass, you can talk about things that you have in common, and you may have more things than you imagine. And if you were ever to meet one of these people from one of these areas in the Amazon somehow, and they said, oh yes, I'm also a Catholic, you automatically have a connection there as well. You can pray together, you can pray for each other. It's a part of becoming a world community and a part of healing a world that seems to be trying to make us all hate each other. Mm-hmm. And the Catholic Church does a real good job with that as well. Again, there is a website, and what would the website be now?
For us, if you go to the Diocese of La Crosse, then follow to the mission office page. There will be information on World Mission Sunday there.
Okay, so if people are hearing this right now, they could hop on over there and take care of it that way. Mm-hmm. It's one of those deals where you hear the words World Mission Sunday, and until you pick it apart and understand how this works and where all this goes, how many thousand did you say? It was a ton of places.
Yeah, the 1,150 locations around the world, diocesan territories or religious order institutions.
Yeah. It's a much bigger thing and a major effort. Once a year, and they don't bother you too much afterwards. So this is a good time to think real hard about this before you go out and buy the Halloween candy. And just give it a shot. Think about where it's going to go, what it's going to do. It will be in good hands, and that people will be benefiting from it. Mm-hmm. People will be better for it. And I suppose you will be too for making that donation, because you really have done something good at a time when there's an awful lot of disruption going on in the world. And, you know, we're still out there plugging away, yeah, saying, hey, gang, we can do better, and here's how we can do it.
Right,
it's,
right.
It's a good deal.
And when you go to Mass, listen to the second reading, because it's from St. Paul and talks about, he's a great missionary himself, that his message comes, the message of the gospel comes not in word alone, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's,
yeah, boy, I'll tell you, that's the Holy Spirit is something worth contemplating even more these days, because I'll tell you, it is big and it is active in the world, and it's out there. Mm-hmm. It really is. I realize I sound like I'm babbling on that, but there's so much stuff out there that if you kind of become aware of the actions of the Holy Spirit and how many times it happens, you would be surprised. It is right there in front of you.
Right.
And
sometimes
it's really kind of neat.
In retrospect that we look back and say, how did all that happen? Well, the Holy Spirit was ahead of me, behind me, beside me, everything.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. You know, Father, we have talked about this for the better part of this particular show, and I sure appreciate you taking the time. It goes by quick, and I think we've gotten the message out that this is a very special collection for a very special purpose, and that it is different from most of the other ones that you hear about during the church year. So if you can, put something in the envelope and get it on its way, okay?
Ditto, and I appreciate the time.
Well, Father, thank you for being here. Father Woodrow Pace, Father Woody Pace from the Diocese of La Crosse. If you're listening outside of the diocese, again, this event is happening worldwide. And didn't you say that even in some of these tiny little places where this money goes, there's people who put in their pennies and things like that?
Yeah, I was in a church in Uganda one time, and it was, you know, one of the churches where the majority of the people were under a tree outside, because it was a small village outstation. But they had a collection, and I think, if I remember right, the value of the shillings that were drawn in reached about $3.80. But they handed it in to the World Church, and that all ended up in Rome.
Getting sent out elsewhere. Yeah. So to them, even though they had very little money, they were willing to share a part of it so that other people could get the same benefits they did.
Yep. Give of what they have. Great.
Keep that in mind, folks, as we conclude the show. Father Woody, thank you so much for being here. And again, as I always say, if something urgent comes up, please drop me a note, because if you can get a hold of me on a Monday or a Tuesday saying, can you mention this next week, I can probably get it on that weekend. Okay?
Great. Thanks, Jack. Good to be with you, and we'll stay in touch.
All right. Thank you. This past week, I got kind of a double whammy from the Federal Trade Commission warnings. The first one is that we are in the Medicare enrollment program time right now. It's your opportunity to pick a plan or to switch plans. And what happens is that there are all kinds of scammers out there. No doubt you'll probably get some things in the mail in a plain white envelope with kind of an obscure address and nobody's company name. And on the front, it will say things like urgent information, confidential, reply requested. And inside, it looks like something from Medicare saying it's time to make your choice about this or that on Medicare, what you're going to do with your Advantage plan, blah, 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 blah. It's not from Medicare. If you flip over the back side, the fine print is on the back where most people miss it, saying this is not an official document from Medicare. It is an advertisement soliciting Medicare Advantage programs. Another one I got was a brokerage claiming they could help you pick out the best plan. Number one, we have no idea who these people are. Number two, and this is the real important part, never give anyone your Medicare number. Medicare never asks for it. No one will ever call you from Medicare. If someone does call claiming to be from Medicare, asking for your Medicare information, they are trying to steal it from you. Generally, legitimate providers usually have their name and their logo and all kinds of great stuff on the outside of the envelope, not a plain white one that simply says Sarasota, Florida. Number two, and I'll keep this quick, with this emergency going on between Israel and Gaza, the people out there scamming are looking for money. Do not take any phone calls and give them money. Don't give them your credit card. Beware of any solicitations you get in the mail. Once again, stick with legitimate religious organizations that you are familiar with and not even sound-alike ones. If some charity calls you or they just can't seem to email you or send you information, don't bother. They're scammers. Between Medicare time and emergencies, it is a jungle out there. Be careful. Jack Soshi here with you in the last couple of minutes of Connecting the Diocese. Every once in a while, one of our guests says something that is so clarifying that I snip it out and save it, kind of the same way you might clip something out of a newspaper or magazine. I've got two little bits, one from Chris Ruff, and one just now from Father Woody, that very nicely contrast the social programs of the church and the spiritual programs of the church. So I'm putting them together. I'll let you listen to them to contemplate. And also a reminder that this show and about the last 100 are archived at the Diocesan website, diolc.org, the same place you can go to contribute to World Mission Sunday. And all you've got to do is simply go to diolc.org/connecting. You'll see them listed there with the most recent one on top. They're what they call MP3 audio files. You can listen online. You can download them. You don't have to register or give us your email address or anything like that. They're free, and you can just share them. For those of you, again, on various internet platforms, try Googling Connecting the Diocese. It may take you to our website. Also on Amazon, it may take you directly to the show. So here are those final comments for you to contemplate, and I'll catch you next week. And thank you so much for listening.
As Catholics, we care about the unborn child, we care about the immigrant, we care about the homeless, we care about the incarcerated. We have a great appreciation for the dignity of the human person. And so we won't necessarily be with one party or the other party on every issue, but we will always be about the dignity of the human person. And our work is a work of love.
We do our work in the world so that the face of God can be seen and the kingdom of God is present. The church is anything but outmoded and antiquated, because every generation is in a new way in need of a savior.